This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next-door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Joy 94.9, Saturday Magazine. Macca here, Paul is on panel, Tass is away. I suspect walking around the deck up at Galesford in his dressing gown. What do you reckon?
Looking like a gorilla in the mess with his
chest. Early morning, Tash getting out of a steamy shower.
Who's up next, Macca?
Stephen Duckett. Stephen is the director of the health program at the Grattan Institute. Good morning, Stephen, and welcome as our first guest in the studio for some time.
Thanks, Macca. I was pleased to come in. They offered me a telephone. I thought, we're allowed to do this now.
Well, you can have a wander around town.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, first off, Stephen, I wanted to, and I touched on it a little bit earlier, legislation, you know, when you're trying to change practices or opinions or views, often, well, nearly always, that needs to be backed up with legislation, and particularly, you know, in areas where sometimes there's a bit of people are contesting things. What's your view on legislation being used to support and, I suppose, justify policy change and such things?
So, Macca, I'm a supporter, is the brief answer. If you think about the cigarette issue and smoking in public places, smoking in restaurants and so on, the public actually was ahead of the of the politicians on this issue. And Nigel Gray, who used to be the head of the Victorian Anti-Cancer Council, was a very sophisticated political operator, and he got the data saying the public liked it, and he then said to the politicians, you're behind, you need to do this, you need to. And once it happened, the legislation started, you know, people supported the idea, but they then stopped smoking. And so it was a sort of a roller, you know, a virtuous cycle of, you know, opinion, legislation, change in behaviour, change in opinion, more legislation, and so on. So I'm also a strong believer in symbolic politics, that you've got to actually send the messages, and legislation is one of the ways of doing that.
Well, that's great. It's a good way to do it because, you know, we've seen many examples of it in many areas of social policy. Smoking is a great one. You know, members in my community coming out, you know, that, you know, yes, it's difficult to tell parents and friends and colleagues, etc. But if your ability to be who you are isn't supported by legislation, it just makes it that much harder. So
it's a sign. It's like the marriage thing. I mean, it's a sign that you're accepted, and, you know, it's really, really important.
Yeah. Now, actually, thanks for that. We wanted to talk about the COVID vaccine rollout and some of the challenges there. And if I'm right, CSL are producing about 1 million doses a week.
Correct.
The federal government has a stock of vaccine already over and above what they've already distributed. Is that correct?
That's right. So, Macca, The vaccine rollout has been a train wreck on practically every dimension you could think about. You know, the government has spent a lot of energy on hyping it up. I think there's been more words in press releases and media conferences by the government than there has been vaccine in arms. I mean, it's I think going to be another couple of months before we have more vaccine in arms than words in press releases. So, you know, it's been about hype rather than delivery. It's been the wrong model of delivery. It's appropriately engaged with GPs. I think GPs ought to be engaged. They ought to be giving a comprehensive service to their patients. but it's not the mass strategy we need. It's a boutique strategy.
Because you actually don't have the numbers. Okay, you've got all these GPs around Australia. Now, a lot of GPs aren't in multi-doctor practices, so their waiting rooms are quite small, and even those that are in multi-doctor practices, the waiting rooms are perhaps not as large. You actually need, in effect, vaccination hubs, don't you, or things like Jeff Shedd, and, of course, that worked well. You need that sort of approach
exactly.
as well.
You know, last year I had my flu vax at Melbourne Town Hall.
Right.
It's a big venue. You know, you're about 10 people were booked in at once, but they could process you. There was a place for you to sit beforehand, a place for you to sit afterwards, and so on. So it just was efficient, and you can do a lot of people very, very quickly. If we want to do a lot of people very, very quickly, which I think we do, we need vaccination hubs, mass vaccination centres. In the UK, they're using stadiums, cathedrals, and, you know, lots of big venues.
So, Stephen, that's my point, is my parents are vaccinated in a sports hall, along with, you know, thousands of others at the same time. We've got lots of experience of this happening around the world. Why is the planning being so tragically poor? It's not happening, but why?
I think it's because the Commonwealth basically hasn't been in charge of the health response to COVID over the last 12 months. And so what you've seen is the premiers on the media all the time being held accountable. You've seen the chief health officers all the time there explaining what's happening. And the Commonwealth has been dealt out of the equation. I think what happened was the Commonwealth said, this is something where we can shine. We will take responsibility for vaccines. Everybody's waiting for a vaccine. We will roll it out. It'll be perfect. We'll run up to the election in October, and everybody will be so happy. But that assumed they're able to do it properly. And of course, everybody has optimism bias, and they assume they're going to do it properly. Well, that hasn't happened.
Because I think if you look at the example of other federal government national programs that have failed, you know, you only need to go back to pink bats.
I'm not sure it failed, Macca.
Oh, well, it certainly failed.
Politically, it failed politically.
Politically. The rollout actually, you know, there was some real awful things that happened, but the federal government isn't really equipped to do this, is it?
The federal government doesn't have feet on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, their mechanism in the health sector is putting another item on the MBS schedule.
Yeah.
So doctors do it for a fee. And that's their a key policy instrument, whereas states have the hospitals and community health services. And if the state government says to a hospital, jump, they'll say, how high? And they'll do it. They've got feet on the ground, they'll do it. Whereas the Commonwealth is much more indirect in what it's able to achieve.
So what needs to happen next, Stephen? How do we get this back on track again?
How do we fix it?
Yeah, that's the critical issue, Paul. What you've got to do is say, look, we know it hasn't worked so far. We've got to do something different. And that's the critical decision they have to make. They have to say, what we've done so far hasn't worked. Let's try something new. And the trying something new is going to the states and say, we want you to get involved. We want you to get involved seriously, both with getting these mass centres up, you know, the Royal Exhibition Building, Jeff Shedd and so on, but also thinking about the hard-to-reach populations, the people who are hesitant about vaccines, the people in, you know, different communities who might be getting gossip from the wrong circles, you know, the fake news and stuff. So the states have to be right on the ground, right involved, and that means they have to be able to share the glory, and that's going to be a hard thing for the Commonwealth.
If I'm right in this, Stephen, when the federal government or the federal Department of Health is sending, okay, we're going to send 100,000 vaccines to Victoria, am I right in saying that the Victorian government is only advised the night before?
Yeah, well, everybody's only advised. You know, you hear so many stories, Macca, about GPs being told they're going to get 500 vaccines and they get 80. They've booked 500 people and then they have to ring up 420 and say hello, you know, and it's just impossible. They're, you know, I ordered a couple of cases of beer the other day and I got texts every half hour about where the beer was and how long it's going to be and who's, you know, even the name of the person who delivered it. Come on. And why is it that, you know, they can do that? The beer people can do that. But Lynn Fox and DHL, who I think are the contractors, can't say how much is going to come where. I mean, both to the GPs and the states. And so the states have this stuff arriving on Friday night. They've got to put it out and they've got no ability to plan. They've got no ability to call people in. It's just, a nightmare.
So, how does this happen, Stephen? I mean, you know, you have some experience as a bureaucrat. How does this happen? I mean, why did they think they could do it when clearly they didn't have the ability to do it? Like, are they smoking something?
Well, I think some of, you know, their aim was 4 million by the end of March, and they got 670,000 or something. Now, a lot of that problem was the disruption in the international supply chain.
Yep.
But even so, they should have had 2 million in. So half of their problem, their target was twice as high as it should have been because of the international problem. But the rest of it, from 670,000 to 2 million, was their problem. They didn't have the logistics right, and they didn't have the distribution channels right. And so all of this detailed, boring stuff hadn't been done.
Mm. I reckon they should put Stuart Robert in charge of it.
I should listen to a podcast about that, obviously.
He did such a sterling job when he said Centrelink had been a victim of a cyber attack. No, it was just people actually ringing up trying to get benefit. You know, his experience in admin, and of course he's got an MBA in IT, you know.
Allegedly.
Well, no, he does. So I reckon he'd be
Mac, I'd be very careful what you say. I've got a Master of Health Administration from the dim, distant past.
Yeah, but I get a feeling you actually know something about it. So to fix it, you know, the challenge is, and we've seen, you know, different health ministers in different states, you know, getting pretty upset about this, but there actually needs to be some sort of a reset, doesn't there, to say, hey, all the health ministers, whatever, or whether it's National Cabinet, to say, hang on, let's reset this. Let's work out how we can make this work. Or let's speak to an organisation or people who know how to do this distribution. You know, if, you know, you'll get messages about, you know, beer you've ordered, I get it about parcels. You know, I'm not suggesting Australia Post be in charge of it or Amazon or whatever, but the technology is there. So why can't it be used properly?
And they know how many vaccines are going to come off the production line. I mean, it is a lot of the stuff is the knowledge is there. It's just the joining up this dot and that dot, which they've got totally wrong. So the issue is they need to push the reset button. They need to actually stop attacking the states for doing the wrong thing and get everybody on board and say, this is a serious issue. We've got to be moving on this vaccination quickly.
Mm.
It is a sprint. It's not a marathon. Let's get it and let's get everybody, the states involved, to do it quickly.
Now, sorry, Paul, go.
Yeah, I just want to change direction slightly, Stephen. While we've got you in here, just worth asking your opinion on the safety of the vaccines.
Yes.
Certainly the AstraZeneca issues in terms of blood clotting have been well publicised over in Europe and now in Australia. What's your view on that situation?
So it's a really good question, Paul. And it appears that the Pfizer vaccine isn't leading to clots. So really the question is, what's it's hard to analyse these things because millions of people have been vaccinated, millions. And so you'd expect, in just the ordinary course of events, a number of clots. The issue is, are there too many clots happening in younger people? And so I think Canada has said we're not going to give AstraZeneca to people under 55 or under 65, and Germany the other way around or something. So some of these countries are starting to be cautious about who they give AstraZeneca to. we don't have to face up to that decision for a while yet because we're still in the 70 plus group where, as far as the evidence seems to be, there's no excess risks, and it might be there's risks with young women only. But so I'd be watching this really, really closely. As I said, I don't think there's anything we particularly have to do. Healthcare workers and so on, the younger people are getting Pfizer already, and it's older people with AstraZeneca, which is pretty safe.
And just, sorry, Mac, just one other question. From a statistical point of view, there haven't been that many clots. So is this an allowable number in terms of the overall good that the vaccine will actually deliver?
Exactly the point.
Difficult question to
exactly ask. The point, Paul. And it's not only there's a small number, well, there's a reasonable number, but you'd expect a number. So it's, is the number different, and is the number different in this age group? So you're doing, dealing with very small numbers, so you've got a very wide uncertainty interval around it.
Mm. Maka.
You obviously, you know, this is a huge part of you know, your work and what you're interested in. Any do you have any concerns yourself when it comes time for you to have the jab?
I looked up on the website yesterday to see when and where I can get it. I want to get it in a mass hub because, you know, this is what I'm talking about. I want to talk and show that, you know, I'm prepared to get AstraZeneca in a mass hub. Mm. You know, that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Look, I agree. I think it seems the way to go. The logistics of actually doing it in GPs around Australia, the numbers simply don't add up. It just doesn't add up.
You know, it requires either GPs to hire a whole lot of extra staff or not doing what they're doing. It just doesn't add up.
If you had, in terms of the whole COVID approach that the federal government's taken, is there one thing that you would have done that you think would have made a difference to where we are, allowing for the fact we're actually in a good space?
So the Commonwealth Government did one thing early, and that's close the borders. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and that was a call Brendan Murphy recommended to the Prime Minister. The right call, right, and really early internationally.
Yeah,
they started us on the right foot. Then the states had responsibility. By and large, did extremely well, except for disasters of hotel quarantine. Yes. That they, you know. I'm still not sure they've learned as much from that as they need to. So we are in a fantastic place. You know, we have 75,000 people going to the footy. I mean, no other country is like that. But it means we've got to get the vaccine right if we're going to continue. You can't open the borders until we've got a significant proportion of people vaccinated with the right vaccines.
Great. Look, we're almost out of time. Look, I want to thank you, one, for coming in. And, you know, it's nice to put a face to the name and, you know, for answering a couple of those questions for us, because I think people want information. They want to understand what the challenge is, what the question is and what the answer is.
Communicate, communicate, communicate. That's what, you know, we saw during the camp, during the vaccine, during the lockdowns.
Yeah. Great.
Thanks, Stephen. It'd be great to get you back in again as we go through the...
After he's had his jab.
Well, I was going to say, as we go through the rollout, just to try and give us an update on how you think that is being handled from an administrative point of view.
I'll be pleased to do that.
Great to have you in the studio with us this morning.
Tass was not always on holidays, so I'd be good to talk to him.
He does. He's away all the time at the moment.
He's away, you know. He's got a good life. Stephen Duckett, thank you so much from the Grattan Institute. Great to have you in here and... I love seeing what you're up to. I think it's really interesting and it's very worthwhile. So thank you.
Thanks, Macca. Thanks, Paul.
Pleasure.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.